Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And today here at Locked On Clips, we're going to be talking about Reggie Jackson, giving him his season grade. Also, we got a voting Thursday. We wanted to know, we'll put a little poll out on Twitter, what you thought. Should the Clippers make a move in the offseason or wait to the trade deadline? Can't wait to get into that. And then also, Lawrence Frank has some media availability, so we're going to be discussing that, all that and more, coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers. Your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so we're at the Reggie Jackson season grade. We did Paul George, we've done Ty Lue, we're doing Reggie Jackson now. This is such an interesting season to look at from Reggie Jackson, who had to do so much, probably too much, given the injuries and stuff for this team. We're going to talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, and then just kind of a final grade. I'll start. I mean, here's what we liked. This stat from Andrew Greif, career high 31.2 minutes per game.
Do we like that? Sorry.
I just like that he was available for it. Like, yes. That's what I like. Like, that he was able to do what he did this season.
We could talk about that more later. Sorry. Yes, you continue.
Sure. Career high 16.3 shots per game, 2-1 assist to turnover ratio.
Ooh, love it.
So, he played the second most total minutes of his career at age 31. He was 25 during his most total minutes
in a season,
which is crazy.
Thinking about how different 25 versus 31 is kind of makes my head hurt.
Yes. Here is what he was most on the team this year for the Clippers. Most minutes, most assists. Bledsoe is number two, which should tell you something about how our offense functioned.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout this year, Reggie's impact in this offense. Most points. 391 points higher than Terrence Mann, who was number two, which is also a bit kind of surprising.
That's shocking.
And then here's kind of an insane fact. He was fourth in total rebounds for the Clippers this year.
What?
He was behind. Zoo was number one, then Terrence, then Hart, then Reggie for total rebounds this year, which kind of blows my mind.
That's wild.
He was one of the few Clippers that could create off the dribble and get his own shot and distribute. He had the game winner against the Lakers. He had another game across the hall where another game against team across the hall. We had 36-8-9, added two steals and a win. There's a lot to like from this Reggie season, right?
There's so much to like. The way he was able to lead this team to a winning season, despite shooting, 39% from the floor overall.
Yeah, something like that.
Some of the struggles. I guess like the resiliency that he had throughout the whole thing, like Reggie, we saw this last season, like he was really able to sort of slot into any role, like whatever the team needed.
Yeah. A common theme among Clippers players.
Yeah, absolutely. But he was a guy willing to do that. And so to see him get the reins this year, like as a fan.
Yeah. Through necessity and through
everything. We can talk about the necessity and like what we didn't like, but
yes,
as a fan, seeing that, like, that is one of those things that's like really special for me. And I think, like, when I do my final grade, it's a little bit hard to separate that from
It's like trying to grade Pat Bev, right? Like, they're obviously much different players, but in terms of what they mean to this team, it's very hard to calculate.
And I didn't even get a Reggie. I didn't even get bribed with a Reggie PB&J snack to say this.
I tried a couple of them. They're very good. And, you know, he missed a little bit of time, just some rest and things like that. Which
he didn't miss enough time.
I agree with that. and just like he brought so much to this team that, and I guess this can kind of bleed into what we didn't like. 43% inside the arc, 32% beyond it. So he was not efficient. His lowest accuracy in 5 years, but that was a career high. 7 3-point attempts per game. Again, this is from Andrew Greif. There's some rough shooting nights in 21-22 for Reggie.
Yeah.
17 games under 30% shooting from the floor.
Oof.
The Clippers were 5-12 in those games. When these would happen with Morris also not being hot, the Clippers were pretty much cooked.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Which
not the fault of either one of these players.
So this is where we get into the thing, like, he had to do so much this year. I don't know what, if Reggie Jackson is leading your team, I'm not sure what you're expecting. And I don't mean that disrespectfully towards Reggie, but there's limits.
there's limits. And I think this was like my biggest dislike was just how much he was expected to do.
Yeah.
Like, I like that he rose to the challenge. I don't like that this was like what was put on him.
Yeah.
It was clearly a detriment to his game. It's, you know,
he get tunnel vision-y, which is what happens when a high volume guy has to do a lot of the scoring. You get tunnel vision, and that's bad for the team.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's expected to happen when you're high usage, and especially when there just aren't other people around. You know, Reggie was, for all intents and purposes, the only guard on this team after the Bledsoe trade.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think, for all intents and purposes, he literally, like...
He literally, yeah, was the only, like, capable point. And that's too much to put on a guy. It's just not right. And, like, of course his numbers are down. Like, of course with the usage that
he's not supposed to be the number one option.
No.
Like, let me look up his usage real quick while you...
It's got to be nuts. And, like, I think that's another one of those things that, like, in thinking about Reggie and his season, I just hope that, you know, the miles from this are not going to carry into next year. Because we cannot have...
We can't have tired Reggie.
We can't have 43% from inside the arc and 32 beyond it, Reggie. Like that.
What do you think Reggie's usage percentage was this year?
That just won't. Like high 30s?
27.6. It's his highest. It's his third highest of his career.
Oh, wow. I was way off.
I mean, 27.6 is still a lot for Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
That's a lot when you're having to use him in 75 games. The man played 75 games for the Clips. His availability was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, and that usage is probably lower, too, because he wasn't just scoring. He also was charged with facilitating the entirety of the offense.
Yeah.
That's why you saw him staggered so much with, you know, secondary units. It felt like at times Reggie was the guy who was always on the floor.
Yeah, good call.
He was in a lot of lineups. And that, you know, like I said, I love that he was able to rise to that challenge. I don't like that that's the position that he was put in. And I think that, I mean... I don't know. If you knew Norm was going to be injured, do you still make that trade?
Yeah, I think you do, just because this front office, just because how the contract lines up. Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair because you do have to think about the future as well. Norm, because
this year was already weird when they made that trade.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess if you know Kawhi, or like you have a strong indication that Kawhi is not coming back this season, you definitely, you know, I guess you do have to think about the future more than, you know, getting a more serviceable guard to run the second unit.
Yeah. And then as far as like the other side, as far as defense goes,
do we have to talk about that?
I guess a little bit.
No, we should. Starting point guard.
He had some nice adjustments. He shoved Luke into the corner in a game that really kind of saved the game.
He was like, he was running point on defense on some possessions. Yeah.
But then the other possessions, like when he was tired, you could tell. Like,
oh, yeah. No resistance.
Yes. Not a lot of resistance. I don't want to say effort because I feel like that has a weird negative connotation to it. He was exhausted.
Yeah.
There's some times when he's clearly just too tired
to
do what we needed on defense when we also need him to try and put up at least 20 a night.
Reggie is not a player, and this is partially because of his path to the league and you know, certainly his path on this team. He's not a player who can afford to give like less than 100%. You know what I mean? And I say that like as a positive. Like, he is trying on defense. At times when he's exhausted, this is what him trying looks like.
Sure.
And that's, you know, it is what it is. So while yes, that is partially the player, it's also, you know, of just a fact of the position that he was put in.
Yeah, 100%. And now kind of getting into his final grade.
So I kind of feel like, I alluded to this sort of at the top of the segment, but I'm kind of split because I feel like there's like, you know, like looking at the numbers.
There's the basketball sense and there's the fan sense.
Yes, 100%. And also like, I don't know, where can you put Reggie or like rank Reggie or place Reggie compared to other starting point guards in the league or in the Western Conference? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, he's not like, that's the thing this year. I don't know if Reggie could play this much again at this level.
Yeah.
And the level, the efficiency was not there. I'm not saying that at all, but he needed to be the volume guy. That did lead to sometimes some tunnel vision. I know the Luke Kennard fan contingent doesn't like how Reggie plays with Luke. And that stuff, when they have some fair points.
Yeah.
But I think this season, we will not see Reggie do this again.
Yeah, I mean...
Because I don't think it's possible. I have to give him, like, an A. And I say that with a question mark on it. Like, if I handed back someone the paper, it'd be an A with a question mark. And they'd be like, so did I get an A? I'd be like, yeah. But there are some things that we obviously would have liked to be better, but given the fact these things piled up against you, I don't know what to say. They went out swinging against the Pels.
Yeah.
Reggie and Morris combined for, like, almost 60. Like,
yeah. No, I agree. You definitely have to give him an A.
It's so weird.
But it's like an essay or an argument that you... Like,
you don't agree with the point.
Yeah, you don't agree. You do not agree with the point.
I've gotten this A before with some professor.
But it's well written. So, it has to be... Reggie has to be an A for me. And I can understand, like, if you're looking at the numbers and, like...
Like, bad against the Timberwolves, elite against the Pels. Not elite against the Pels, I shouldn't say that. But.
And if you... You know, like, if you don't contextualize just the situation that he was in...
Sure.
It's not that great of a season. Like, it's not an A season.
It's a season where your team goes 42-40.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. But given the context of the year, it's really hard for me to not give Reggie an A.
And I'd give him extra credit for the PB&J bites.
Yeah.
I feel like I could talk about this for an hour.
Absolutely.
It's such a weird year, and, like, let us know on Twitter what you think.
And Reggie is, like, such
he's a... He's got 1 year left on his contract, too. We're going to talk about that in the next segment, but, like,
yeah.
Where do we go?
Yeah, and he's like a beneficiary, and it was a detriment to him. You know, it's like it's both.
It's
things.
So weird. It's the weirdest A you've ever gotten in your life.
Yes, absolutely.
Coming up, we're gonna be talking Voting Thursday, which first draft name for the segment, if I'm being honest. But first, we gotta give a shout to BetOnline. I've won a couple bucks on there. I've lost a couple bucks on there. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you bet too much on the Dolphins. But thankfully, BetOnline, you can bet on the Dolphins. You can bet on anything. They're your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs. We're in the heat of it right now. And start of the Major League Baseball season, BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering info, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Get those playoff bets in. They're getting crazy over there with the odds for the Warriors to win the title. Suns lose one game. The Sharps are losing their minds. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet online, where the game starts.
All right, welcome to Voting Thursday.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's the most boring day of the year.
So this one's kind of about if the Clippers are going to make a move, when would you like to see them make a move? So if the Clippers were to make a big swing, you know, something possibly involving Morris and Kennard before the next season, or wait until the season is underway, mm-hmm. you know, before the trade deadline, to make a substantial move, you know, what would be your preference? What did the people have to say?
So thank you to everyone who voted in this. People also took this example very literally when it was just an example.
Yeah.
For what a big trade. I don't know what other big trades you do without.
I mean, those are just, you know.
Movable contracts.
Obviously, Morris is, you know, linked to a lot of trade stuff.
Yeah. Kennard has crazy value. It was just an example. Either way. 62% of the 500 or so people who voted said before next season, 38% wait until it is underway. And I'm going to be honest, the arguments for both sides presented in the replies, pretty damn good. Unbiased.
Love a good discourse.
Yeah. Oh, especially on Twitter. It's hard to find there. Unbiased NBA fan says, when's the last time a trade deadline deal helped a team win the championship? Gasol? Most teams deal with their weaknesses before the season starts and spend the 82 becoming acclimated to those changes. A big move 20 to 30 games before the playoff doesn't seem like a good idea. The
unbiased NBA fan, you bring up a great point. And
great point.
I think there's also even an argument to be made that the Clippers collapse, you know, while it's not Morris's fault, he certainly didn't feel like he had a voice in that locker room.
Fair.
Which, you know.
Talking about the bubble?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, like, is an issue.
Yeah.
And so, like, while I don't think that he was the problem, you know, that team had...
Yeah, there's a lot of other problems with that
team. That team had its own issues. But, I mean, that's just, like, a microcosm of what I think can happen if you wait till the deadline to make a deal.
Yeah. And I'd argue it's not like we have a bunch of continuity on this team.
Yeah.
In terms of guys who've played together, right? Like...
Rondo deal, I guess, is another one that comes to mind.
Oh, God. But, like, this team doesn't have continuity to lose.
Yeah,
they do among, you know, guys not in the starting rotation, but, like, our full starting lineup didn't play at all last season. Like, we don't have some kind of system, and the vibes, that's a different story. But the on-court system and things like that, we're not exactly reinventing the wheel when it comes to this roster if we make a trade before the season starts.
Yeah.
The other side, we have Tony Amaro says, poor rebounding is one weakness this team has. I don't know what moves to make since the two best players were out the majority of the season. I would stay put and watch this team play till just before the deadline and adjust from that point. So this is kind of the other side of the we don't have continuity thing that I just brought up is we don't really know what we have.
So I think that this is definitely the way that I have been leaning is that it maybe does seem a little bit rash to make a move without seeing everybody all together. Because I know that, like, even with Morris, right? Like, who does have his ups and downs, he
and
looks...
And is reportedly going to be their Clippers are potentially fielding offers, looking into stuff about Morris.
Yeah.
Which is not very surprising.
Well, yeah, not very surprising. Still, like, a couple years left on that deal. Yes. Older guy, not the easiest to move if you want a young piece, but then you can get another oldie.
another old guy, yeah.
But, yeah, like, it just looks very different when your two stars are together. So, I mean, yeah, I think that was probably the way that I was leaning, honestly, until just, like, today. Because
it's going to change every day for Clippers fans. I'm the same way.
Yeah, like, I do think that if you are planning on making a roster move, I mean, like, maybe you don't have as much negotiation wiggle room if you don't wait till the deadline, you know, but...
Yeah. Because, like, we need a backup point guard.
Like, I kind of would just, like, you know, if they plan to make a move, just making it in the offseason. And that's the way I feel, you know, on this day.
That's fair. On what
April
is it?
20th.
420. That's right. Wow. Might be feeling different tomorrow. That, and so, like, we do need a backup point guard. You were looking at the roster before we started this episode, and there's like eight guys who are technically guards or whatever.
But they're
ones
all...
or twos, but one of them is a one, and it's Reggie Jackson. He's the only, who only has a year left. He has next year, and then we don't know what's happening. Rebounding was an issue that a lot of people worried about in the replies, but Lawrence Frank at his end of season availability kind of said, in terms of the rebounding, he was like, the team believes they have enough internally to help the rebounding issues with Kawhi and PG being back. Like,
well, I mean, that's like 15 rebounds a game.
Yes. Tyler Leem said, we have the pieces. Ideally, I'd want to keep this group intact and just add Kawhi and PG. Best team in the league in that scenario. And I think this year, how many miles were on the guys is definitely a factor going into next year with trades, where if we can get someone who maybe has a little bit more, not like juice left, because these guys still can play, obviously, because that's where I get torn, is that we need depth.
Mm-hmm. But you'd also like some youth.
I don't know. I know we need a backup actual number one.
Yeah.
Things have flipped now where this narrative is very much true. Where we do need a backup number one. Who knows what's going to happen with Preston? I'm not ready to talk about him being the number two point guard on the Clippers team. And I know PG does his thing for sure, but we still need that depth. PG, we need a guy. We need a diet Reggie Jackson. We basically need that, which at $11 million a year, I'm not sure how much cheaper you can get a diet Reggie Jackson for.
Yeah.
But like, we need a guy who can go out there and just get a bucket. A walking bucket. No. But also, we kind of do. Like, we're in this precarious situation where Batum has more miles on him. Morris played a bunch. The ramp-up time, like, we saw a glimpse of it. But...
And just, like, fundamentally, we do have a lot of guys on the like, roster who are, like, tweeners. They're, like, guards.
Yes,
but, like...
By design.
They're not really guards.
Yes. They can't do what guards should be able to do by second nature in terms of initiating offenses and things like that.
And, like...
For this team.
And, like, even Norm, like, I don't really see him running the second unit. I see him being a big piece of it offensively.
Sure, a one and a half.
Yeah.
But we need that actual one.
Yeah.
But that's also, that doesn't feel like a big move. Like, that's the other thing, is that, like, you know, this question was predicated on kind of a bigger swing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
If
we make a big swing, is it crazy to think that it's just for another forward?
No, that's for a big or a forward, probably.
Like, I don't really know what point guard you really can go all in on. That, like, that's
Brogdon makes a whole bunch of sense.
That's an actual trade target.
Who does have an extension. We got that wrong the other day. But he's just hurt. So, like, We were talking about this before we recorded again, that like a lot of guys who are going to be available are kind of hurt guys.
Yeah, I mean, like Rubio doesn't have a deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's coming off a ACL or MCL.
We can't do another reclamation project for the backup point guard.
Yeah.
Like, we can do that for, like, the third big or whatever. That's great. But not for the backup point guard.
No. No. It was just clear how big of an issue that it was. And maybe, you know, that won't rear its head as much when you do have more playmaking from
Kawhi,
you
know, PG.
From your two and three, or three and four, however whatever you choose to look at them. Yeah, totally. But at the same time, I don't know that it's realistic to have like one of Kawhi or Paul George and Reggie on the floor at all times.
I mean, yeah, we like need.
Yeah.
Huh. Still got to sign Roko too. A lot of stuff to figure out. Glad I'm not in the front office.
Yeah, totally.
We'll see what happens. Thank you, everyone who voted. Coming up, we're going to be talking Lawrence Frank's end-of-season media availability and how no one really had a good time with the Clippers fan shop this year. But first, Will, if I wanted to eat a delicious bar, step one, where do I go?
You got to check out Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market. But what, like, we talk about Built Bar a lot on this show.
Constantly.
Locked
on Built Bar.
We talk about how great tasting it is, but what you might not know is how many delicious flavors Built Bar has. There's truly something for everyone. It's really cool when you talk to a Built Bar fan. They're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out. They got coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange cookies, and cream and German chocolate. Ooh,
wow.
Yummy. And right now they also have Puffs, the first ever protein infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Not just a protein bar, a protein treat that comes in churro, coconut, and banana cream pie. I keep talking about how great tasting these things are, but they're also healthy. Check out these macros. Each bar has 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. And right now, if you go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
All right, welcome to Shavings, Lawrence Frank edition. Part of the Gingham Gang, of course, as we all know. Had a lot of stuff to talk about. We're just going to react to a little bit of it. On not making the playoffs, he said, considering how much the Clippers battled this season, they've watched the playoffs with a degree of emptiness, wishing they were there. But he said, we're not going to allow two games where we came up short to overshadow a special season. I think this kind of encapsulates what we were talking about with Reggie.
Yeah.
Where you take a step back and you're like, this season, we're just getting punched in the face. Like, roster-wise, all this stuff. It was a special season. It was very weird. As weird as it could maybe be. But it was special nonetheless.
Yeah.
I don't really know what more could have happened. You know, we win the play-in, we go to the playoffs. And then, you know, there's still question marks if Kawhi comes back. It was a question mark season.
Yeah.
Is what I feel like it was.
I don't think it's happening with the Paul George COVID stuff. I mean, like, it makes, I don't know, it does ease the sting a little bit just because you're like, okay, so we would have then had to like play likely two playoff games without Paul George
Sands, PG.
Versus the number one or number two seed.
Right.
Like, yeah. I don't know, man.
Not ideal.
Not ideal.
He said the silver lining on the season was a significant progress made by the team's 25 and under players, which
I'd agree with that.
I think that's pretty fair. I'm going to look up. There's not very many Clippers under 25. Or and under, like, because I'm pretty sure Terrence is close. Terrence is 25, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Zoo is around there.
Zoo's 26, I believe. Yeah, I mean, this was good. I don't, like, this is the frustrating thing about this year a little bit, is that we were in between the dev and going for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
So things get a little odd.
But you can't lean, I mean, like, right. Obviously just due to who we had and who we were out, you can't lean completely into the going for
and
this
no
season.
Pick.
And yeah, and you can't lean completely into the developmental season because, yeah, like you said, no pick. And look, I just still think that, like, it's not good for a locker room to have vets who can
kicking
contribute
yeah.
losing games watching from the sideline.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's not championship mentality.
Like it. He credited Zoo and Hart with their rim protection and said they deserve a lot of credit for the team's top 10 defense in a season when the Clippers play without Kawhi and PG for most of the year.
Love it.
Yeah, hell yeah. He also said something that should make fans pretty hyped up. He liked hearing Robert Covington tell the press that he liked being with the Clippers. He said that they would like to keep the unrestricted free agent. The relationship he developed with Ty was really good.
Oh, I bet.
That was evident from the start. Rocco played so important for the Clippers this year.
Yeah.
No, I mean, get this contract done. Look, Rocco feels like he's been on the Clippers for 2 years already. We get this contract done.
I think we get this one done. And it's like one of those things where I wrongly thought maybe Rocco was a little cooked at this point in his career. You know, like the crown jewel of this trade, you know, was Norm Powell, but it ended up being Robert Covington.
What are you going to do? He loved how Ty Lue was able to unlock Luke Kennard this season. I think we can all agree with that. Best 3-point shooter in the league. And then on Kawhi and PG's health, he said, "We've gotten the injuries out of the way. I'm looking forward to good health. The flukiness of PG's injury, there's not anything preventative you can do," which is true. He had a 7-foot tall guy fall on his elbow. He said, "Similar with Kawhi, examine everything, but I have good faith we're going to get great health." Hey.
Love it.
Let's fucking hope so, buddy. Because we need it next year. Really bad. I liked it. He was available for like an hour today, which is awesome. Shout out Lawrence Frank. Shout out all the beat reporters who covered it. Most of this was from Law Murray and Andrew Greif is where we got this. Moving on to the commerce portion of Locked On Clippers.
Ah, we love commerce.
Locked On Commerce. We love participating in commerce responsibly. We did kind of a random poll over on Clippers Twitter. I just asked from the Locked On account, like, did anyone have a good experience with ClippersFanShop.com this year? No, was the overwhelming answer. We got about like 35 replies. 4 of them were positive. 2 of them were about the most recent Crenshaw Skate Club release, so that's good. But we saw some rough stuff. Paul Scheer,
Clippers fan,
power user over on Clipper Twitter, said it was the worst. Totally messed up my kids' Christmas. Gifts I ordered on 11/5 never showed up. The customer service was unreachable. When I finally got someone, they had no info.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely just insane. Unbelievable. Basic e-commerce stuff you got to take care of here.
Yeah.
Nothing out of the ordinary. Eric Hitoshi with maybe the funniest, but also I can't imagine how frustrating account. Me. Hey, where's the toddler jersey I ordered in the beginning of the season? Also, he grew in the 7th month since you were supposed to send it. Can you send me a 3T instead of a 2T? 10 minutes later, Clippers fan shop, your 2T jersey is on its way. Like,
I love it.
What a nightmare.
That's so terrible.
Melissa Stetton said, just got a shipping notice for a jersey I bought in November.
Wow.
What is broken here? This is the official shop of the Clippers. This isn't...
How can you botch this bad?
You sell Clippers merch. That's all you sell.
Yeah.
It's a multi-billion dollar franchise. Like, I don't know. They got to figure this out. I think this was a remnant from the Sterling era when he did not want to spend money on actually having functional things online for teams that has somehow lasted.
Yeah.
They need to revamp this. I feel bad saying this. We've worked in e-commerce. It's not always the easiest thing in the world, obviously. But like, have stock of the stuff you sell.
Yeah.
And this is on the team. Like, I'm not... Just insane.
Yeah.
This should not be what the process is. If you want to build fans, getting them stuff on time or being responsive.
How much of this is supply chain, though?
You know? Okay. I feel like I feel like every time there's a release, people are upset at Clippers Fan Shop.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Just be better is all we're asking. For the sake of commerce.
For the sake of commerce.
And then finally, closing this episode out on a bit of a, note of some kind. Terrence Mann is diversifying his NFT situation.
Boo.
Which seems not fun. He's joining Chibi Dinos.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Chibi Dinos?
I, of course, am not familiar.
Keep your ear to the streets, man. You're not outside, buddy. They are, of course, a basketball-inspired NFT collection of 10,000 fun and unique dinos, part of an ever-growing play-to-earn metaverse.
Okay.
LFG. I don't know what we're doing here.
What does...
Get out of NFTs. Everybody listening to this.
I was wondering what chibi means. I guess it's a Japanese slang word describing something or someone short.
Yeah, they're short.
I was like, where does the chibi come from? Is that a basketball thing I've never heard of?
It's a metaverse thing. No, you know, it's just a bunch of dinosaurs playing basketball. Unclear if it's for charity or not. I looked at their Twitter. They mentioned nothing about charity.
Gotcha.
Sometimes if there's an NFT for charity.
If it's an NFT, like, I don't think it's for charity.
Fair. That's a very good point. What's it going to take for NFTs to stop infiltrating the Clippers?
I don't know, man. I like, at least to their credit, like, all these guys have expendable income. So if you're being responsible and just using the expendable part of it, I'm kind of like,
what gets me is
do your thing, I guess, man,
is the fact that, like, we've seen this go bad before, right? Like, people, there's NFTs and there's all these crypto things where it's just hey, buy this, you're done with it. It's just a quick way to make money. I'm not saying that's what Terrence Mann is doing at all.
Yeah.
But the perception...
After, like, the De'Aaron Fox thing, you think people would kind of be distancing themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's, I mean, he's not the only one. There's, you know, other celebrities who have been, you know, linked to things that are...
Most, I would say.
Yeah, that I, you know, like, I would like to think that it's probably happening without their knowledge, but, you know, who knows?
That's not how rich people operate. Just weird. Also, I just wish there was one NFT that I thought looked good.
Yeah.
They're all bad animation. It's it's all like clip art from a GeoCities site.
Yeah.
Is what NFTs look like. DM me if you want to talk about NFTs. I'll block you. That'll be your time.
I'll block you.
Coming up on Friday's episode, we have the week of guests continues, but also stops because it's the Friday episode. Miriam Swanson, the god.
Your favorite Clippers beat writer.
Your favorite Clippers beat writer. Favorite Clippers beat writer.
Yeah.
Joins the pod. We're talking the Clippers season. We're also going to be giving a season grade to who I am calling the most polarizing Clipper, Ivica Zubac. I don't think I'm wrong about that.
No, not at all.
And then we got to have a good love, Mary quarantine.
Yes.
Miriam's going to roast us if we have a battle.
I know. We got to bring our A game.
Got to bring our A game. We need another. We need to somehow capture Landry Shamit's Laundry Jam It in a bottle yet again. It's going to be a fun time. Will, if someone wanted to rate this podcast, just where the heck could they do that?
So you can leave a rating or review for this podcast over on Apple Podcasts or the podcast app on your mobile device. You can also leave a rating or review over on Spotify. We'd love to get those numbers up. If you leave a review, we will read it on air, positive or negative. But hey, you know. If you like the show, maybe a little positive, it can go a long way. You can listen to us on either one of those platforms. You can also listen to us on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, on Stitcher, on Deezer. We mentioned up top, we do come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific, and a little earlier on YouTube.
What? What?
So thanks for rocking with us. Can't wait to have Miriam on the show.
Oh, it's going to be a good time. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. And as always, we appreciate you.